Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he is also a Northeast Ohio native. Please welcome to the show, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, thanks for the time today.
How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
You betcha. A little soggy up here, just so you know. Yeah. A lot of water the last 24 hours.
Okay, well, hopefully my mom got her garden started and she's benefiting from the rain.
Well, I got bad news for you. It's supposed to snow next week.
Oh, no.
The Guardians are starting their season, which means it's time to snow again. I mean, that's how it goes.
As you know, man, with this place, you don't like the weather. Wait an hour.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember playing games at Cathedral Lane where we had to burn the dirt. We had to put some gasoline and fire on the dirt to get the hold there in early April.
My senior year of high school, the weather was so bad, we went to North Carolina to play baseball for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Good move.
The reason we wanted to have you on, obviously, the Kirk Cousins thing seems to change by the hour, if not day. I want to start here, though, because it is one of the great mysteries here in Cleveland, and nobody is buying that Kirk Cousins came to Cleveland because he wanted to eat at the Westlake Chipotle. So, I hate to put you on the spot right out of the gate, but what on earth was Kirk Cousins doing in Cleveland last week?
Yeah, we can't figure it out. You know, the Browns, his people are from here. His in-laws are from here. I'm figuring he was stopping halfway on his way to Grand Rapids. That's the best thing I can come up with.
I've heard worse ideas. I've heard worse things that could possibly come out of it. But it's such a fascinating situation because of everything. You know, the way he, of course, played to Kevin Stefanski for a little bit when he was with Minnesota, Cleveland needing a quarterback in the way that they are. Does a move from Atlanta to the Browns for Kirk Cousins make sense on the Atlanta side?
It makes sense if the Browns give them something. It doesn't make sense, otherwise. You know, they got the money. They paid him the money. They're not getting anything back. You know, they got 14 games for $100 million, and appear to be fine with holding him hostage. Now the Browns are not in a situation where, you know, they got Kenny Pickett. They can draft a quarterback. I mean, you know, it's a couple different options out there for them. It was always explained from the beginning, this was like Russell Wilson. It was a contract that, nobody was going to trade for. You know, Cleveland doesn't have $40 million more dead money on a quarterback to put in the play when they already got Deshaun sitting there. So, you know, they can't really trade for him. But if the Falcons cut him loose, which is what he's asking for, then, you know, you could sign him for the minimum, like a 1.2 deal like Russell Wilson did with the Steelers, and go from there. You know, that was the hope of the Browns at one point. But as far as giving the Falcons something for him, no, I think that's a no-starter.
Well, if my math is correct, 14 games for $100 million is a lot better than 13 games for $240 million.
Yeah, so both of them got jobbed, and they were both in the running for Deshaun, too. And Cleveland, I guess, quote-unquote, won that race.
Hey, at the owners' meetings this week, you wrote about how Arthur Blank and Raheem Morris seem open to a trade all of a sudden. What would a trade, though, with the Browns look like? Would the Falcons be willing to eat some money for that draft pick or draft picks?
Yeah, they got to eat it. They got 100. There's no tradable way. It's untradeable because the Browns wouldn't give them a draft pick. You know, there's no trade that we can come up with that works. You know, they're not going to give him a seventh. I mean, that'd probably be about all you can get. Even if the Falcons agree to pay the contract, they already paid the contract. The problem is the Browns taking the hit number with moving with them. They've got to move with them. So, yeah, they're like, no, we're not taking, you know, they can't take it on. There's no way to trade them.
What could the Falcons do to make the salary cap numbers more palatable for the Browns?
Only thing I can come out with is he comes back to the Falcons and renegotiates the contract and gives back money. And how many times does that happen? Zero. That's the only way I can come up with. And we were talking to people down at the owners' meeting. They're like, well, yeah, that might even be a violation of the CBA. He says, okay, here, take back $40 million. My salary cap is now this. We voided that contract. We got a new contract for $1. Now trade me. There'll be all kinds of union lawyers fighting for that kind of groundbreaking type of situation. So that's the only way. They can't redo the contract, but, you know, they're already mad at each other. They've been mad since they drafted Penix. Michael McCartney went on, NFL Network or someplace, complaining about that they blindsided him. They didn't call Kurt until they were on the clock. And so, they've been bad blood since then. They got a no-trade clause. They don't have to waive it. So then where the Falcons are, we don't have to renegotiate with you. So, yeah, it's messy. It's a bad situation. The only clean break is, hey, if they just punt and kick him to the curb, and then he'll be available to Cleveland and everybody else for a minimum salary.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I'm glad you brought up the Penix part of it, because I've often wondered in this situation with Kirk Cousins, is transparency the cause of this? Like, if they would have sat Kirk Cousins down, in your opinion, and said, hey, we're going to make this move and pick up a young quarterback in the first round of this draft, do you think it would have eased the tension a little bit better?
No, I think it would have went to somebody else in free agency, it would have been a thing where they wouldn't have got him if they did that. And, that's just the cold-hearted facts of the National Football League. But I can't find – we haven't been able to find out anybody who they were bidding against to get Kirk Cousins last year. But he would have had a better – he would have got somewhere last year, but it wouldn't have been Atlanta if they was like, hey, we're going to sign you, but we're going to draft your heir apparent here in a couple weeks too.
Well, the Browns are looking to draft a quarterback. The big debate up here is, do they take Shedeur Sanders at number two? Is Shedeur really worth that pick, or is he a mid to late first round type of a quarterback here? My question is, should the Browns draft a quarterback in the middle rounds? They don't do it at two. They wait till the middle rounds. Do you think that Kirk would be okay with that situation, considering it's a little different than spending a first round pick on a quarterback?
Yeah, that was one of the ways we can come up for Kurt to get to Cleveland is they pass on Shedeur or Shedeur passes on Cleveland. You know, maybe you come back. I don't really like the Milroe option, but, there are some other quarterbacks, the kid from Louisville that's been in college for several years. Will Howard, Ohio State, did pretty good at the combine. I mean, there's some guys that play a lot of college football that, or one of them is going to be a pretty good pro. You just got to figure out which guy that is. I'm not big on the Jackson Dart. I think he's too small. But, especially play up in the cold and so forth. But, there's some big kids that could throw it. Done pretty good on the college ranks that you can maybe double back and get later. and have Kurt show them how to do it, and they'll get a shot in a couple years with Kurt and Kenny Pennick helping them out.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So Arthur Blank sat down with the media at the owners' meetings. You were there as well. And said he took 5 pages of notes in an hour of a Kirk Cousins call. When is the last time you took 5 pages of notes for anything? Is it college? Because I think that might be mine.
Yeah, it was law school for me. It was UC Law. That would have been right down there at Cincinnati in corporations class or con law or something. But yeah, 5 pages on a phone call? No, never. That's a no.
It must be very small pieces of paper that he took those notes on.
Yeah, well, Kurt's very intentional, and he's a voice memo guy, so he probably had a whole soliloquy memorized before he got to his phone call with the owner and his concern and belief for it. So, yeah, with Kurt going straight to like an hour straight about, you know, why he needs to go and what be for the team to make that happen for him. And his passion for the game and wanted to continue to play at 37, you know, and that his clock is ticking. He don't want to be sitting on the bench if he doesn't have to.
I realize it's lion season around the NFL right now. Nobody wants to say anything meaningful, but considering the owners' meetings just wrapped up in West Palm, the Browns are in Colorado right now. They're going to wine and dine Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders and probably Deion Sanders too and the rest of the gang. But what is the consensus on Shedeur? There seems to be a very wide range. There's a select group of folks that feel like he is a franchise quarterback and the Browns would be stupid not to take him. And then there's a lot of people that think, well, he's probably mid-teens, early 20s type of guy. What have you heard about what teams really think about Shedeur Sanders as a prospect?
Yeah, I was, I was on my way to the Texas-Alabama game last year, just driving over to hang out with my Texas folks. And one NFL coach I was talking to that day said, oh, yeah, and by the way, Shedeur's definitely a pro quarterback. And so since then, I've been watching and actually went out to Colorado to see them play right before the Falcons and Denver game. So, yeah, I've seen Deshaun, Cam Newton, all these guys come through, Stafford. And, he's a little thinner for me. I would like to be a little bit taller, but, the ball comes off his hands really nice. He's accurate. He knows what he's doing. He doesn't have a bigger arm. But like Jalen Milroe has a bigger arm, but he can't control it. So he's definitely a pro quarterback, definitely, I believe, a first rounder, top 10 in this draft, and going to be a good pro for a long time.
I can't remember the last time we got this deep into draft season where everybody still had their first-round pick. There have been no trades. Falcons right now sitting at 15. Where do you think they're going?
Yeah, if they go anywhere, they're going back. That would be because there's a drop-off, a perceived drop-off after the top 12 guys. It's supposed to be only 12 first-rounders in this pick, in this draft. So they can go back and get some quantity. As opposed to, making sure or gambling at 15 that they got the right guy out of that next group. They might just try to load up on that second tier and get a couple picks, get a corner, maybe an edge rusher in that second group if they're not happy at 15. The key for them is how they evaluate Mike Green and Marshall and James Pierce from Tennessee. Both of those guys have some red flags. They're probably going to be there at 15, and they got to decide if they are comfortable with those red flags or not.
Well, I can confirm for the folks in Atlanta, Kirk Cousins was not spotted in Strongsville scouting Bill Cowher's mystery house. We have not seen Kirk Cousins at Rocket Arena for Cavs games just yet. We are definitely on the lookout. If that should happen, we will do our best to get that information down to the folks there in Atlanta.
Yeah, please alert us as well if he's at a Hawks game or is at Augusta this weekend.
Yeah, we'll be on the lookout for Kurt. He might pop up here at Marietta Middle School where I'm getting ready to go speak, but we'll see. He was down in Orlando last week at an All-Pro Dad event, so that was our last Kirk Cousins sighting, and they don't have a team, so he's not getting traded to Orlando.
Well, check your Chipotles and barbecue joints, because supposedly that's where he's turning up around here.
Okay, we'll be on the lookout.
And expense it, because it's research for a story.
That's right. That's right. I can get that past the accountants, Dan and Daryl. Thank you so much.
You betcha. D, thanks for the time. You're the
Thank
best
you.
As always, my friend.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
there
man.
You go. D. Orlando Ledbetter on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.